Pretty much.
Welcome to Beer Field.
Welcome to Beer Field. I am your host, Chris Hopper. At Beer Field Hop, joined by at Ryan Miner underscore FFB, Ryan Miner, and Dan Thury at Beer Field Thury. Dan?
What's up?
What's up, buddy?
Dan.
Oh, there you are.
There.
Cool.
There
now
it is.
We can actually stream video until my internet decides we can't.
Well, that or it tells my, it keeps telling me that my internet's unstable. I'm like, well, cool. It's kind of like most of my ex-girlfriends, so it's perfect.
You've got hotel Wi-Fi. It's a crapshoot how well my internet's going to work ever since I switched. So,
that's true.
This provider, but we'll.
And I'm stealing my neighbors.
Just kidding. I would not be surprised.
Yeah,
I'm not fancy.
All right. We've got the first week of the fantasy football playoffs for most leagues going on this week. So first week of playoffs, the Las Vegas Raiders currently hold a 21-0 lead over the Los Angeles Chargers, both teams on not the same starting quarterback they started the season with. Touchdowns for Zamir White in the rushing game, something called Trey Tucker and Jacoby Myers for the Raiders. Just started the second quarter, so this is headed towards blowout real quick.
Yeah, Aiden O'Connell's QB1 right now for week 15.
He is the QB1 out of two.
I bench Myers in a league. I don't remember for who.
If you would have seen the catch and the touchdown dive, you'd have been like, that was lucky.
Well, I mean, yeah. This is one of my non-bye week teams. I have two teams I made byes on, so which is always the best, feeling in the fucking world is a bye week.
Every playoff I made, I'm a 3 seed.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I always like being the lower seeds. I don't know why. I feel better being like a 4, 5, 6 areas, like my preferred.
I mean, if outside of things, outside of leagues with bye weeks, there is no fucking difference. Like I remember, yeah. I think it's on ESPN. You can make home field advantage a thing.
Oh yeah, you can.
I think you get 10 points to start with or something.
Two or three.
Yeah. I'm like,
that'd
no,
be fun.
No, I'm no. good.
Dan did get in on my favorite rule in Dynasty in my league. So,
I mean, last year, the team that won it got in on this.
Got in on that
rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beat me in the first round. I'm like, oh, yeah, I should handle this guy. Nope. Got my ass kicked.
My team's actually pretty good. I just had fucking horrendous. I think I have the most points scored against me. So.
And that's what that rule's there for.
Yeah. And by that rule, people that don't know, it's
points four gets
highest scoring team. That's, yep, highest scoring team left.
Not in the top 5 seeds gets the 6 seed.
Yep.
Absolutely. Doesn't go by record. So both years that has come into play so far. Last year, the guy that got in on that rule won it, so it's designed to protect a little bit against tough luck. So, we'll see how it goes this year. But we got a pretty packed show. We're going to try to do more analysis stuff, at least for week one in the playoffs on the games this week. We're going to get into some of these wide receivers that are currently not practicing, and there's a lot of them. Try to point out, who on the team may benefit if they don't play. And later on some potential matchups for fill-ins. If you're a guy that has, I'm this guy. I had Keenan Allen and Josh Jacobs both not going on a team that's in the playoffs. So
hi, that's me too.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm Chase Brown. It's a 14 team league. So I'm Chase Brown over in Jacobs spot because had to be a running back. And I put Palmer in off waivers over Keenan Allen coming off IR, but that not been good so far.
No, not at all.
But anyway, we'll get into that, and we're talking about some of the other stuff happening around the league. So give some of our opinions just because we like to talk football, right? So that is what we're gonna do. Before that, though, we're drinking stuff.
Beer review.
I haven't messed that up in a long time.
What's fueling beer fueled?
All right, Dan, why don't you go ahead and start?
I'm out here in Carbondale, but I was in Missouri the last couple days. Popped into one of my favorite small local shops there, down there in Cape Girardeau, and got me some narrow gauge. Nice. And I only got it because of the cats. It's called Kidders.
I haven't seen that one.
It's fucking adorable. Obviously, those that know, my wife and I absolutely love cats, so I had to get it. Yeah. So Kidder's American Pills, or I'm sorry, American Lager, 4.1%. About as basic of a can as you can get, but the most adorable basic can. So, yeah.
All right, I'm going non-alcoholic this go-around. So I finally got my hands on some non-alcoholic dark beer. So this is Partake. I think they've been on before. They are out of Canada, imported into Chicago, I think. Yeah, imported into Chicago. This is their Dunkel. So it's only 30 calories, but yeah, it's supposed to taste like a Munich Dunkel, which is one of my favorite beers to drink this time of year. So we'll see if it, you know, usually they're not
lives
exactly
up to the name.
The same, but we'll see if it is close enough for me to be satisfied by it.
Yeah, I mean, you'll appreciate it. I don't think you'll get all what you want from it, generally body, but and the darker NAs can be pretty good, man.
Yeah. What do you got, Ryan?
Nips. I have Atwater Brewery's Christmas Ale.
We got them on Christmas.
And not an IPA.
I mean, you know, tis the season. I mean, it's still an ale.
The season. Well, it's an ale, but, and it's, know, I mean, instead of throwing a bunch of hops in it, you throw a bunch of spices in it.
It might be both. You know, there's a...
For an ale, it's at 6.1%, too. It's kind of weird. I think it'd be a lot lighter.
Yeah. I mean,
usually the ales are like 5.5 at most.
Nah, your ale range will go up to 6.5, I think, for most of them.
We didn't start becoming like pale ales. This one's just a flavored ale.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Some winter beers will identify by the type the base beer is. A lot of times it's probably in, what, can you hold it up? What color is it? Are you drinking out of the can?
Yeah, drinking out of the can.
It's red.
It's
red. We've got him nothing.
Okay. Yeah, I love it. I mean, I'm drinking out of a can, but I'm also in a hotel room.
You're so also drinking a lager.
Like, I'm also drinking a lager.
It's only got 20 IBUs. So,
yeah. I mean, not going to be super hoppy. My guess is it's probably an amber, like an amber ale or a brown ale. It's been spiced to hell. It's not quite strong enough to be a strong ale, but interested to see what you get from it. Interested to hear what you think. All right.
News.
All right. Let's go ahead and start with injuries, and then we'll end with injuries because there's a lot of injuries. Brian Robinson still sidelined, likely to miss this week. So again, late in the season, we record on Thursday nights. The only closer you can get to knowing if somebody's playing is, well, Friday and then Sunday morning. So, you know, if somebody's not practicing on Thursday, we're going to lean towards contingency. Brian Robinson's not playing. Obviously, his contingency is a pretty easy one in Antonio Gibson.
I wouldn't say it's exactly that easy. I mean, you throw in Chris Rodriguez Jr. too.
What has Chris Rodriguez? So...
he runs the ball. He's a running back.
You know, I know who Chris Rodriguez is because I was really, really high on him, but his high this year looks like it's been 7 carries.
That was a couple weeks ago, too.
Kind of efficient, but not really. That was back in week. It was back in October, so it was 2 months ago. But
I thought he did good a couple weeks ago, too. I'm trying to find it.
It was 4 for 23 and 3 for 7. He has one reception on the season, so... he I like Chris Rodriguez, but you know, he may be more change of pace, but Gibson is probably the guy that, are you advocating for a playoff team to pick up and start Chris Rodriguez? Let me ask that. In this
if
situation.
You're that desperate, and you, like, say, I mean, if you lost Jacobs and you lost Alexander Mattison, and that's the best
Ryan,
you can find
Ryan,
out there.
If you're a 12-team league, are you really playing Chris Rodriguez?
If
it's
I
a
have
playoff
to.
Team, it's a
you
playoff
got better,
team.
You got better
Dude,
depth on your bench, probably.
I mean,
I played with worse before and made it along.
I get it, but
like, I'm not trying to be like a smartass about it. I'm just trying to say,
no,
like,
I know. I'm trying to figure out where, in what way.
You'd have to be a really deep league and be super desperate. And, like, you'd have to be on a really deep league with six teams in the playoffs and be really desperate with no – and all your running – you've been really lucky with running back health up to this point. I do have a league like that where I've been really lucky with running back health up to this point. So I haven't really had to use any bench depth, and if I did, I would be in trouble. So, I mean, that's probably the scenario where you do it. Gibson's more, to me, like, if I'm cuffed Robinson with him, or if I lost Madison, I'm more comfortable, especially with the receiving ability, going to plug him in than I am Rodriguez. Now, Rodriguez is probably more available, but, you know, I wouldn't necessarily advocate him over like a Chase Brown, for example.
Oh, God.
Or
no.
Like a Samaje Perine, who's put up some big receiving weeks and things like that. So that's,
he's been pretty quiet. I was actually looking at him when doing lineups. He's been, Samaje's been pretty quiet.
Yeah. D'Ernest Johnson would be another player I look at to
Yes,
add.
Especially with ETN banged up.
Yeah. I'm just like trying to say, like, those
Gainwell
managers who have Brian Robinson and can't find another running back because someone already has Antonio Gibson, it's kind of helping them out to look at the other side of it. Some points are better than no points.
Well, that's true.
That is
true.
I never thought you would spend this much time on Chris Rodriguez. I'm very proud of you guys.
I like Chris Rodriguez.
I play in 10-team leagues that are deep. And
I'm
Chris,
not saying
like,
I don't either.
The best running back available right now is Jerick McKinnon.
I'd play McKinnon over Rodriguez.
And this is a 10-team
league. Is Pacheco even going to be playing again? I'd almost play Clyde over him. I mean, at least you're taking it back from a better offense. I mean,
I already have.
Who's Washington playing this week too? You guys don't?
LA. Rams.
The Rams?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Rams.
Obviously, yeah.
Obviously not Chargers. They're playing.
That's
right
not
now.
The worst. I mean, it's not the worst.
It's not the worst matchup to have. So, you know, Rico Dowdle is another one who's been getting a little bit of run. Just names.
Yeah,
right?
He's playing Tony Pollard Road.
You know, Ty Chandler is available.
So, Iwangu.
Yeah, can you,
you know,
can
you want the, you know, you want the backup to Chandler.
Dude's explosive.
You're gonna have a, you know, the speedster. He's extremely explosive.
You just don't know if they're going to give him any work at all, but he's explosive.
True.
I have wanted the Vikings to give Wanu work for him.
You got a carry last week. I expect them to get more work this week.
I hope
they're you know, they can be pretty allergic to giving Ty Chandler like more than like 60% of the work, but you know, it's the Bengals on the road Saturday night. Like, who knows? Not night, but day.
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh
my gosh. This game. A punt. So the Raiders just punted. They caught it. Davis caught it at the 15, returns 4 yards, then fumbles it, and then Vegas recovers.
Nice.
First and 10 at the Chargers 14.
I love football. I love Thursday night, man. Just drunk.
This is kind of what I need, honestly. If I'm going to get some Josh Palmer garbage time, this is it.
No, this is going to be National Zamir White Day.
Maybe.
It might be Zamir White Day for the Raiders, but
here he has one touchdown. He's about to have two.
I mean, that's fine, but I don't know what that has to do with Josh Palmer.
Because we're talking about the Raiders now. The Raiders are on offense.
I wasn't
talking about the Raiders.
I don't think the Chargers will ever be on offense ever again because Easton doesn't know what team he plays for and keeps throwing on the wrong team. Actually, never mind. He doesn't have
any picks.
He's got sack fumbles.
Yeah,
but no picks. He hasn't thrown it to the wrong team. He's just put it on the ground and said, "Here, pick this up."
he hasn't thrown it to the wrong team yet.
He tucked it in their helmet.
All right.
All right. Chris Godwin also sidelined Thursday and might miss this week. That's obviously.
I think he plays.
Do you?
This is like a must win game, you know, against Green Bay, 2-6-7 teams. They just got on top of it. And it's like, if there's ever a time to play, like, if there's ever a time for Godwin to, like, really, like, you know, play through it, this is the week to do it.
If he can.
Which means he'll sit. Which means he'll sit. Yeah.
Yeah. if he can, right? Kate Otten and Rashad White stand to probably get more work from that. Trey Palmer would be the one that plugs into Godwin. 6 foot rookie.
Look at Rashad White, though, man. He's freaking being a dominant running back right
Rashad
now.
Rashad White is being a dominant running back right now. And I think that
he's so good at catching the football. But he's so efficient running. He's so inefficient running it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but watching some of those plays, dude, he looks so fucking stiff trying to make anyone miss. It's honestly painful. Like, I love Rashad White. We all know this. But my God, he puts his foot in the ground. It's like watching the world's slowest, like, revolving door move. It shit's so bad. It's like, yeah, dude, this is like better Najee Harris, but it just depends, I guess, if Tampa Bay, you know, decides to draft a more agile running back or not. But White looks so fucking stiff trying to make a dude miss.
15, 20, and 25 carries over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Workload. Workhorse.
286 yards, three touchdowns.
Yeah,
he's got the perfect quarterback. Yeah, and Baker and drop offs. He loves to use his shutdowns.
So yeah. So Smart. Sexy.
God, I just love seeing Baker being successful again.
And I really,
me too. I love Baker Mayfield.
And I really think it's him and Otten that benefit if Godwin can't go. So,
Michael Mayer touchdown.
Good. Everyone, this is like Oprah.
Yeah. You get a touchdown.
Everyone gets a touchdown.
Besides Devontae Adams.
all the high-end wide receivers that we have on the Raiders are all getting touchdowns.
Unless you play for the Chargers, and you don't get a touchdown.
Yeah, you didn't get nothing.
You don't even get
it's all
carry.
Going to Gerald Everett. It's all it's going to.
You don't even get a reception. Christian Watson, also sideline, may also miss this week. Look, Packers are not a bad team to go. I mean, Tampa Bay secondary has not been great. Packers are not a bad team to go target pieces on. Particularly, Jaden Reed has played off pretty nicely. He's probably rostered, but Dontavian Wicks has been getting some work. And then, you know, Torrey and Heath down by the red zone have also been getting a little bit of work. So, you know, if you're looking for plugins, the Packers are not a bad offense to target. You are hoping for a touchdown from those guys, but you know, Wicks gets targeted downfield, middle of the field, whatever the case may be. You know, he's built in pretty nicely, and you know, we've seen some nice stuff out of Heath too. It's really Jaden Reed that they're trying to run things through in the receiving game a bit with Watson out, but still not bad.
Plus, don't be afraid to use Tucker Kraft at tight end, especially if Chris Watson is out.
Yeah.
Just because last week he saw his most reception yards. I mean, he caught four passes, but week before they had six targets, but this week was actually his highest catch total and his highest receiving yards. So yeah. Not bad for getting 10 points.
He played every snap. The last 3 weeks, over 95 or more, he's on the field running a bunch of routes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got 12 targets in three games. You hope to see more, but
It's tight ends.
At this point, he's got 10 targets in two games. You want to just read it off? Like, let's just look at the last two games. You know, he's got 7 catches on 10 targets.
You know, yeah, but the Buccaneers also give up the 7 most fantasy points to tight ends.
See, there you go. There's your streaming tight end of the week if you need
Boom.
One.
Boom. Yep, gotcha.
Tight end streamer. But yeah, Jaden Reed, if he's available, Romeo Doubs, you know, it's a not terrible matchup. And, you know, they're touchdown dependent, but they can catch it. By the way, Jaden Reed's line last week against the Giants was insane. 8 receptions, 10 targets, 8 receptions, 27 yards. 4 carries for 38 and a touchdown.
That's
like a bunch of screen passes. Like, here, sit here in the backfield.
That's exactly, we'll exactly what they did. He had
Does
more...
Eberflus calling the play then? Jesus Christ.
Apparently. But anyway, that was an interesting tidbit. Tyreek Hill not practicing. He played after he hurt the ankle and now hasn't been at practice. So
he probably shot his ass up in the game. I didn't think he'd play if they were well in hand. That offense looked pretty fucking bad without him, though.
Yeah, and they're playing the Jets, too, which is super stingy, so they're going to have to get it done with, and Achane might not play. That screams Raheem Mostert to me, but...
That screams a void. Jets have one of the best scoring defenses in the league. Like, Tua, like...
Scream a void.
Any quarterback that plays the Jets just fucking struggled, so... Mm-hmm. Like... It's hard to pivot off of two. He shouldn't be. He's not a high end. You know, he's not a must start. He's always been more of a mid to high streamer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, that matchup is going to be fucking rough. And you could see some pretty low score.
Plus, Jalen Waddle's still injured. Pretty low scoring game. He got injured the game. Didn't Jalen Waddle get injured at the beginning of the game?
Is Waddle ever healthy, though?
All season, fantasy wise, I don't know. No one knows because he's not producing fantasy points. So
I feel like he's always hurt. Like he plays, but he's just always banged up.
He had 6 receptions, he had a good game, 8 targets for 79 yards. He's been pretty solid the last. He's been solid to good the last 4 weeks, 5 of the last 6.
I think he's the only true start. I think him and Mostert are the only true starts if Hill and Achane can go.
I think so too, and that's just going to be because volume, right? For Waddle, they're gonna follow
the targets.
Going
to your best players, yeah,
right. And they're gonna try to get it going through the running game. McDaniel's gonna have to get creative on this one. You're not trying to get cute against the Jets and going out for like Cedric Wilson or anything like that if Tyreek doesn't go.
No, I agree.
Let's see. Justin Herbert to miss the rest of the season after undergoing index finger surgery. Easton Stick is starting right now. That's not going so well. Max Dugan was signed from the practice squad.
Oh, man. TCU's finest, Max Dugan.
Yeah, they should put him in. That way we can throw to Quentin Johnson.
Forgot about that.
Might be the only way Quentin Johnson scores fucking fantasy points.
Quentin Johnston has a reception right now. You know who doesn't? Josh Palmer, but... Johnston,
he did just get activated off IR, didn't he? Didn't Palmer just get out? Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I started him though, which is where my angst is.
That makes sense then.
Is he even on the field?
I don't know.
Yeah, we can't really see snaps either. So
here's the problem I had, right? 14 team league. I had Keenan Allen going out. So
that hurt, man.
Yeah, that hurt. So, I mean, my options at wide receiver were Palmer on waivers or Dontavian Wicks or Parker Washington. I took my chances with Palmer getting utilized the day he's activated.
Parker Washington. I see that. That makes sense.
I don't know. The Easton Stick and no Keenan Allen. I'm like, hell no. I don't want to touch any Chargers.
Yeah, I mean.
Who's got higher upside? Parker Washington has better floor, but if they're going to use Palmer in a good matchup against the Raiders,
I like the matchup
against
the
bad quarterback. Like that was the process play.
So I like the matchup against Baltimore. You know, two good quarterbacks going after it.
Yeah.
You know, it might be ugly at times, but generally you're going to get decent scoring unless you're the Chiefs and Bills, then, you know, fuck that. But
yeah,
no fun game.
That game sucked.
It did. Chris Olave not practicing with an ankle injury. Taysom Hill is back at practice. With no Olave, this is another they got the Giants.
Who would it be?
I don't know.
Because Shahid's on IR. Thomas is on IR.
Shahid returned to Shahid's practice.
He's questionable now.
Oh, okay. So he's back. Okay. Jawan Johnson and who else? Like, I don't even know who the fuck else is
Jawan
there.
Jawan Johnson and Taysom Hill.
It's more tight ends, right?
All right.
And streaming.
Saints target leaders. This is the content you didn't know you needed. Chris Olave, 116. Alvin Kamara, 73. Michael Thomas with 64, who has not played in the last 5 weeks.
Plus he's on IR.
Because he's on IR. Yeah. Then Rashid Shaheed. So it's Olave, Thomas, Shaheed.
Oh, AJ Perry?
A.T. Perry.
A.T. Perry. A.T. Hey, Perry. That's the name.
A.T. Perry.
Wide receiver one body style. Freaking huge guy.
Yeah.
Huge, fast, and raw. Wait.
That's naughty.
Name of your next sex tape. Rest in peace, Andre Braugher.
Oh, my God. I'm watching so much Captain Holt videos.
I have, too. We sat down here last night and watched like an hour of the best of Captain Holt.
Oh, my fucking God. Dreamcast. Yeah. So good.
Yep.
Maybe I'll see some more Jimmy Graham this week.
Well, that's true. So tight ends are the name of the game if you're looking for backup.
Apparently you want old and middle-of-the-road tight ends this week.
Yeah. Or the Saints do.
The Saints just love that because they have no money.
All right, so Nick Mullins to start for the Vikings over Joshua Dobbs. Did you know? I saw this on Facebook and had to go look it up. You know, Nick Mullins is like third in QB yards across his first, 13 starts or whatever?
Like, he's had 17, he's played 17 games.
Yeah.
I think he's had 17 starts, and he's, if you patch him all together, he's been fine.
Really good.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the interception percentage isn't good, but in the touchdown percentage, leaves a little bit to
that's
be
why
desired.
He ain't fucking starting. So,
throwing for 5,000 yards. So
he'll have JJ. He won't be 100%, but he'll have JJ.
This is a sneaky good game to target players. The Vikings Bengals game is to me. Even with Browning and Mullins starting, if you lost her.
Mullins just went 3-0 against the Raiders. I wouldn't go that far.
Might be 6-0. 7-3.
I'm kidding.
It should be better.
If fucking Josh Jobs didn't kill fucking, you know, if he didn't almost kill Jefferson, I think that game would have had some points before then. But
yeah, and Browning's been good too. That's the other thing.
Browning he's been impressed. Like,
he's been efficient. I mean,
he had an extremely good year. He had one really good year with Washington, and then obviously kind of went to shit. Mm-hmm. Almost kind of like, you know, Purdy with, you know, obviously comparing the two, but
Iowa State.
But like, you know, there's some upside. He's got a lot of fucking weapons that are finally getting healthy. So,
yeah. Yep, I agree. And he's got weapons that are healthy. Defense is playing well, and he's got some rushing floor to him, too. So there's that little scramble ability. Not really floor. Scrambly.
Wait, he's only 11 yards. Loops. And he's only 11 yards behind Joe Burrow right now in rushing.
There you go. Alex Mattison, we already talked about that. Joe Flacco signed to the Browns active roster. He's already been procedural move. Nico Collins is not practicing. And CJ Stroud is still in concussion protocol. So you could end up with the Davis Mills show there.
Probably at this point. Like,
yeah.
He's going to survive tomorrow, right? I mean, I guess maybe Saturday too, but.
Yeah. But if
Houston, it's a good year. It's a good run for them.
Yeah. It sucked last week because I started Stroud over Lawrence thinking that Lawrence wouldn't be able to play, and that backfired on me.
It's a good year to build on for Houston without
absolutely
Tank Dell or Nico Collins, and Noah Brown is questionable. You're getting really deep on that depth chart.
Yeah. And also, I don't think it's a very strong matchup for them this week, too.
They have the Titans.
Yeah, Tennessee secondary is not that great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like two had a great game last week.
It's not a Monday. Bad matchup, but.
It's not one where he's like even if he plays, he's missing his top three. He'll get Schultz back, but he's missing his top three.
And Schultz could be the biggest pick up there, and you're probably going to get a healthy diet of Devin Singletary.
Tight ends?
Bobby Trees.
Probably a healthy diet of Devin Singletary. Yeah, Bobby Trees is not a bad call there.
He had, one target last week, though?
Revenge game.
God. Revenge game.
I mean, it's true. It is a revenge game.
Mm-hmm. The revenge game. The revenge game is undefeated.
It is.
Isaiah Pacheco not practicing again. So he's probably gonna miss the second straight week. It was Clyde with 11 carries, and splitting receiving work with McKinnon. So it's kind of ugly without Pacheco.
That Chiefs team is just
it's like
watching Green Bay with Rodgers after, you know, after the Cobb and, you know, Jordy, you know, years were done.
Adams
and they
left.
And it's just like they're just avoiding trying to add talent because, like, well, we got Mahomes, we'll be fine. It's very frustrating.
This game's frustrating. It's 35-0 now.
They scored again.
Yeah, direct snap to Brandon Bolden and the Wildcat.
Dude. Just because.
Yeah.
The fuck is this game?
It was 3rd and 3 from the 26, and he freaking runs it all the way in.
Three lost fumbles.
Were they all straight?
No. He had one, though. Kelly and Darius Davis.
Yeah, and the muffed punt.
35-0, and we're not even at the end of the second quarter yet.
Yeah, and I picked the under for 30. I think the
you know what would be incredible if the Raiders broke the scoring record. I fucking hope, because it's the Raiders.
Like, that would be great
on a Thursday night with players that no one's fucking playing in their playoff weeks. Like,
yeah, Brandon Bolden.
That would be fucked. Like the CX just fucking melt because of it too. Would be.
Like, you know, scores 50 fantasy points and it's maybe one for the week.
Devontae Adams is 4 for 60, but Devontae Adams has 10 points at least. It's probably the only one you're playing right now.
Just wait until we start seeing the screenshots of like number one seeds losing the 8 seeds because they played against fucking Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah.
Just some crazy ass shit like that. I love fantasy football.
163 and 3 touchdowns. Nobody saw this coming.
Yeah, the guy's like, oh, I started Austin Eckler. I thought I had a chance. 2 for 7 yards already.
I mean, he'll get involved in the receiving game, right? He's only got 1 for 1 right now.
He might get pulled.
He's been 2 for 1.
He could get pulled at this point.
He looks like shit, like dog shit. Literally dog shit.
But he's got one target, one catch for a yard. Like,
actually, the whole Chargers look like shit, unless your name's Gerald Everett.
Yeah.
I'm going to end up with a fucking Josh Palmer goose egg because they're going to be like, nah, just rest that knee another week.
Chargers are giving all of us a concussion just having to watch this game.
I can't.
That's why I'm not watching it. That's why I do this with you guys on Thursday nights, because it's so much more fun.
If I was at home, I would have that on my other monitor, but
yeah.
Nope, I'm good.
Taysom Hill, back in practice, we talked about that. It's being reported that Robert Kraft has decided to fire Bill Belichick at season's end.
I thought they said they're going to relieve him of his duties.
Fire him, relieve him of his duty.
He just won a game. He just won their third. Like, apparently,
he got the Chiefs coming out now. So
the report basically just said that it was made up after Week 10's loss to the Colts. That was what was going to happen. But I mean,
this should have been made up here.
He'll probably retire instead of getting fired, but he won't be coaching the Patriots next year, which we probably could have predicted. But
it's the right call. It's time. Like, the dynasty is done with, and now we're just in that like just horrible years that no one wants to watch.
Yeah.
As a Raiders head coach.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels the coach in there.
The Raiders will give him a lifetime contract.
Yeah, partial ownership.
I mean, Tom Brady owns part of the team.
Yeah, it's a family love affair now.
Oh, there you go. I didn't think about that. You're onto something.
He can be paired back up. He can be paired back up with his boy.
Oh, yeah.
Reverse it now, you know. All the fucking theories, all the wish casting from Raiders fans if that happens.
Dude, you should do that. You should do theories.
I'm here for it. Let's do it.
He couldn't introduce his own segment if he did that.
No, it'd be so much. That'd be so hard for me to say.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like 15 minutes of me trying to say it. and then quitting, and then that'd be the end of the fucking show.
You would just be going with
whatever. Why is Ryan, syllables for me to say it, all at once?
It would just We're be good. Whatever came out of his mouth. It might not even be anywhere close, but that's the name of the segment.
It'd be a lot of swear words.
Why is Ryan introducing Dan's segment right now?
Because Dan can't pronounce T's.
Because we were messing around with it for 20 minutes, and we just gave up and said, I got this.
It's because Dan's screen froze by making the same face over and over again, trying to say it. Why does his mouth just do that the whole time? I don't get it.
All right.
Beer review.
I'll go. I feel like there's a little bit of the roastiness and the or of like a breadiness and a toastiness to this, but you know, the thing that I'm noticing at least with Partake is that the malt beers kind of like taste the same, which I know there are others where that's not the case, but you know, there's like hints of different things around the edges, but it's kind of like if beer were flavored seltzer water. It's like, here's your Dunkeld flavored and colored seltzer water, essentially. And you know, that's not bad, right? I still like the sensation. It's probably healthier for me than soda and regular beer. Like the sensation of it and everything. Does have a little bit of flavor to it, but I mean, yeah, I'm going to keep searching for a dark non-alcoholic beer, I think, beyond this one. I'll drink the six pack. It's not
the next time I see you.
But yeah.
The next time I see you, I'll try to get my hands on some of ours, our extra dark.
Okay.
It's called Galactic. That one, I think, it's good. Won bronze at World Beer Cup this year for the NA category. So I mean, it's got that going for it. It's a really good. Really good dark. A lot of fucking flavor for a dark NA too.
Just give me some of the malt flavor or some of the coffee flavor or some of the chocolate flavor or whatever.
You're gonna get a lot of chocolate. You can get a lot. It's fucking good for an NA dark.
So I'll keep trying. Tis the season. I got a couple more months of dark NAs. All right.
What's no drink month?
What?
Is that February? Is that February, like no drink month? Dry month, whatever they call it.
What is this dry month you talk about?
Where people are like, oh, I'm going to give up drinking for a month. And I'm like, oh, okay.
People do that?
A month?
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
Good for them, I guess.
Well, no, it'd be like a good month to do like NA beers and stuff.
Just do NA beers.
Got dry January. Sober October.
Yeah. No, not November. I'm out. Oh, wait.
November. Fuck, wait a minute.
No, I just do non-alcoholic beer when I feel like, I should try to make a healthier choice.
Opera makes healthy choices.
Like with dinner and stuff. Like when I just I want a beer for dinner, I'll grab one.
Smart. Would it be healthy?
Save the beer for it. I'm like, damn, I really want a beer. Anyway, whoever wants to go next, I don't give a shit.
Ryan, you go. I want to hear about your Christmas ale.
My Christmas ale. So I had Atwater Brewery's Christmas ale. Comes in at 6.1%. A little bit of a spicy to it. Spicy hint. Definitely like a brown ale. Like a stronger brown ale. I would say with a hint of, what would that like spice be that would be in it? That's not as bad as the last one I had.
Oh man, there's a lot of spices that could be in there. It could be clove, nutmeg, cinnamon, coriander.
Yeah, I was thinking like nutmeg. It definitely isn't like cinnamon. Probably like more like a nutmeg than anything.
Okay.
Very good, very light.
I'm gonna look it up for you. It is
golden brown.
It is a brown. It's they won't say what it is. It's a deep amber ale. They call it a deep amber ale.
Deep amber.
Maris Otter. They use Maris Otter Pale Malt and Dark Munich Malt.
Okay, so it's a British Brown, which is more chocolatey.
Yeah. And then you get ginger and almond flavor. There you go. Was spice with ginger.
There you go.
Ginger. Locally produced ginger.
That's what you're getting.
That's the spice and everything in it.
Yeah. It actually sounds pretty good.
But it's actually pretty good.
I mean, just reading on it, it sounds really fucking good. But all right. Now, again, okay. I'm drinking Pitters from Narrow Gauge out of St. Louis. This is American Lager, 4.1, light, crisp, very, 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 very subtle hints of biscuit and toastiness to it, what you would expect from an American Lager. Not overpowered by any means. Basically, this is a better version of most of your domestics that you're going to get. You're going to get a little more body, a little more flavor, but it's going to still give you the crisp, clean finish. It's good. Very good.
All right. Moving right along, I got a collusion story for you.
Oh, what, really?
Yeah, not a story, but we're going to follow along with this saga, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, a buddy of mine, Morgan, sends me a message this morning with a screenshot that just says, "What the hell is this?" Because it's a redraft two keeper league. And there's a trade that went through that was Jordan Love for Justin Herbert, 2QB league. They threw the flag up on that, obviously, because it's a 2QB keeper league, but Jordan Love for Justin Herbert in a playoff scenario. One team's in, one team's not. Collusion?
Nope.
No, because you got keepers, right?
Yeah. So you put the keeper trim into it. I view it as You know
you
what?
You traded a guy that I wouldn't make the trade if I mean, in theory, yeah, you're trading a guy that you probably wouldn't have made a trade for to try to get a better keeper.
So can we talk about
Jordan Love continues on?
Can we talk about the first problem though?
Sure.
Why are you allowing trades in a keeper league in the playoffs?
That's a league commissioner thing, right?
Yeah, but that's the first problem to me. Two keeper league, like, it's not dynasty. Shouldn't be allowing trades in the playoffs. My opinion, but that should have at least stopped last week, if not a couple weeks before the end of the season. Because even though it's two keeper, right? There's still a lot of good players beyond those two keepers that you could be moving around and including with. And you're not really, I don't know what the rules are around keepers or anything like that, but you shouldn't. I just don't like the idea of having that many impactful players opened up to trades at that point in time, knowing how colludy things can get.
That's not colludy though, because it's part of the rules. If you follow the rules, that is part of the trades, and you can trade for
it's
keepers.
It's not collusion. It's actually.
I didn't say was colludy. I was just saying how colludy things can get in a lot of leagues when you allow trades for that long. Now,
it's not a dynasty, so I mean, I understand. I'm very pro no trade deadline in dynasty leagues, but.
Well,
a redraft league.
It's not a dynasty league. It's a redraft league.
I know. Well, I mean, it's a two keeper redraft. I mean, it's. There's still elements of trying to better your team for next year. It's not like, Ronnie's league where there's one key. It's like a one keeper league where it's pretty much a redraft league, right?
Two keepers is still pretty much a redraft league.
Yeah.
You're redrafting what?
Especially if you don't have to keep two.
16, 17 other rounds.
Especially if you're pushing just for to win. It's like, I'll trade you all my keepers and try to build a stack team.
It's funny because this is. I'm wondering, this has to be a super flex. Otherwise, what's the fucking point of making it?
It's 2QB. So it's super flex.
Okay, 2QB.
Yeah. So it is. I don't know what the rest of the roster is like. So I don't know if it's like, obviously, that wouldn't have been
Jordan Love.
It was Jordan Love going one. He traded away Herbert for Jordan Love.
Yeah. He's a playoff team trying to win it. Well, your roster is got to be fucking strong to even like dare to make that move.
Right. And I don't know what that was. The commissioner saw it and disallowed it, which there's enough griping and complaining around it to where, you know, okay, he saw it, he disallowed it, he made that choice.
I'm sorry, this I have an issue with.
Disallowing that?
I'm sorry. No. I that to me, like, first off, you didn't.
So he didn't even try to
someone who commissions leagues. Yeah.
Does it change?
It's more so because he didn't have rules in place to prevent it. It's the same thing that happens. For some reason, I find myself in this position. I'm not saying that I'm a great commissioner by any means, but it's one of those things where if it happened, to go back and revert it just opens up cans of worms that you don't want to, like, that's something that you don't want to set the precedent on just because someone bitches about it. Like,
yeah, and I don't know
that I have more issues with than the trade itself.
Like, I kind of got issues with the trade itself because the justification guy gave after the fact when asked to justify it was, you know, what, you don't want to have a fair game. It wasn't, I'm going to make him my keeper. It wasn't anybody on either side saying that trade was to make Herbert a keeper or anything like that, or justifying it in that way. Justification given was all around just that game.
My best advice to Morgan here is I just leave the league.
Yeah, and I think he's planning on it, but he's a playoff team right now, so he's not leaving right now.
Well, yes, obviously, yeah.
So just go win it and get out.
It almost sounds like they were colluding, but like doing a bad job at it.
Yeah. So the commissioner.
What I did in my league.
So the commissioner disallowed it.
Yeah.
And then they tried to go around what the commissioner said by, let's see, dropping Jordan
dropping
Love.
And adding
the drop and add thing.
Okay, it's this. If I understand Morgan's position, I would almost ask for my money back and I wouldn't fucking care. Like, winning it would be great, but like there's so many issues with this, right?
Yeah,
the disallowing of the trade I do have an issue with because it should not have happened, but then the fact that it did happen and the guy still tried to do a workaround with it, like, which is very much colluding at this point. Like, that is very much a true staple collusion move, is to do a drop ad type of situation like that. Like, that's
and that's what it was, because as soon as the trade got disallowed, it wasn't nobody's dropping Herbert, but dropping Love to try to pick it up. So then the commissioner put Love back on his roster and disallowed the drop. There was another trade that tried to happen. This one was then a Baker Mayfield for David Njoku trade, which you're not keeping either guy at that point, so I don't really care necessarily. Like, that was the one that I looked at and I'm like, oh, that's less obvious. 42-0, by the way, at the half.
They scored again.
They scored.
Yeah, they did. Four touchdowns.
This one,
Trey Tucker again. Oh boy.
Who started
just how we had it?
Who started Trey Tucker?
Oh, apparently, yeah.
3 for 59 and 2.
What is this game?
Aiden O'Connell has 4 touchdowns.
I told you he's in pushing that QB1 number, the overall QB1.
Dude, he's gonna be a QB1.
He's gonna
be a top 12 quarterback easily. He'll be a top 3 probably, honestly.
QB1.
Yeah, he doesn't have 200.
There's a very strong chance for that too. I hope I'm not playing against some in some fucking dumbass way.
Oh shit, that's a good idea. I'm gonna go look while we're talking about it.
I should probably go look at that too. That's actually, like, I'm sitting here enjoying.
How does Mason Crosby not have a fucking sack? Oh, you're putting his
because Mason Crosby is the kicker that just got cut by the Rams.
I'm sorry. Wait,
but I'm 100% behind
Max
Dan
Crosby. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Everything Dan says, I'm 100% behind. If it's not the rules, it goes through.
Yeah,
I don't care. If there's nothing stated about it, you cannot.
Yeah,
like, you just make a rule for next year.
And the way to fix it way you fix it is you move the trade deadline next year.
Yeah, you fix it by fucked up. We'll fix it the second.
Oh, by
you got to vote on it. You don't just move it to move it. You got to vote on this
because
at this point you try to vote on it. Yeah.
Because by the way, it's not that there isn't a trade deadline in that league.
Well, there's not one.
There is.
Oh, there is one.
December 22nd.
Oh, so yeah, it's within the trade deadline.
The week before the finals.
The week before the finals, there's a trade deadline.
Why the hell did they do that?
I had that was my question. I'm like, why the fuck even have a trade deadline if that's what you're gonna do?
They tried to, they mean like November 22nd?
They're just trying to incentivize basically people trying to sell their team for a championship. You really can't sell your, it's two keepers. You're not really selling your team
for a champ. No, I mean,
if the rule's been in place for multiple years, like it just, you're almost, it just feels like a league that I wouldn't want to be in at all.
You're almost inviting collusion for teams that get balanced in one.
I mean, honestly, that's
way. I think he fucked up the date because he said, you said December 22nd.
Yeah.
Because that's a Friday, this Friday. But if it was November 22nd, it's a Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving.
Which would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah. Maybe. So I think he meant to do like November 22nd and became December 22nd.
Well, if that's the case, then you don't just revert it. You say, my bad, guys. I set the trade deadline wrong. But that's why you have written bylaws so you can cross reference that.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah.
You still don't revert it.
Nope.
Yeah. But anyways, that's
well, you fucked up when that's the unfortunate for Morgan. Was. You fucked up when the trade deadline was, you do.
You can vote.
If it's in the if they had written bylaws and the deadline date was in the written
that's
bylaws,
fair. Yeah.
Wrong in the setting, yeah. You reverted.
Which it should be.
My
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, but if there's no bylaws written, and there's.
Right. And I'm
there's
assuming
no bylaws written, they're just going by those. Sorry.
No, you're good. I was just going to say that I'm assuming that there have been trades between the day before Thanksgiving and now too.
Those
weren't an issue. So, all right, good talk, guys.
Good talk.
Next or one was Kadarius Toney offsides.
Yes.
Does a bear shit in the woods?
Was Jalen Waddle offsides in the comparison pictures?
Actually, wasn't even that. Was Kadarius Toney offsides? The very next play, Von Miller was also offsides, but I don't know if anyone saw that.
Yeah, they didn't call that one. And that's, right. I think, where a lot of the pissed off comes in. It's, you know, Reed said Toney didn't check with the refs, his fault. It sounds like not.
You see the video of him checking, though?
There's video of him checking, and then Reed said he didn't check.
Before he set. He didn't even really, like, he wasn't even stopped. He, like, a half a second, and then he looked away.
Yeah.
Oh, just.
And didn't get acknowledgement on that. And, you know, it sounds like not just from Reed, but from others that it's pretty normal for the refs to give warnings in that scenario. And it's not, that's not just out of the Chiefs. I think it was, might've been Dan Orlovsky that said that that's commonplace for a ref to warn a player like, hey, you're offsides. And they didn't do it. Which, fine, whatever. I mean, it should be on the player to check, not the ref to warn. But if it's common and they just didn't do it in that scenario, Peyton Manning had the best take on this, I think, which is that if they snap the ball with the player offsides, just blow the damn thing dead.
I mean, it's the same thing for false starts.
Yeah. Don't wait.
It's not a free play. So what's the point? Again, yeah. I that's perfect. Why is that play even happening?
Right, because then you don't
reset right away. Yeah.
Then you don't have the controversy of there was this really cool play that went for a touchdown and he was 4 inches offsides and maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, just blow the damn thing dead. Then you don't know what happens.
It's just, yeah, I'm very much over the reaction of this. It's just so,
yeah.
Like, Mahomes is not a bad guy. I hate, it just feels like, yeah. The inconsistencies of refs calling, it's been a thing for
since
I've been watching football.
Yeah, and there's a boil over point there too for Mahomes too, because his receivers have been letting him down all fucking year.
This whole fucking team's letting him down. The management staff not fucking doing nothing.
Yeah.
Pretty good passes, drops them all. How do you drop those passes? Like throw them right at your fucking hands. You have hands. Catch the ball.
How do you not address the wide receiver room at the trade deadline? How do you go into this knowing what happened to your team week one against the Lions?
Knowing that your core is bad.
Seven drop passes in that game.
And it didn't get better. The only thing that's gotten better is Rashi Rice out of that.
Yeah.
And he's not the type of player that's ever going to profile as elite level. He's a nice piece. But you could definitely do more to add another guy that's at least that caliber. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And they didn't. But You know, the and you're right, it's the consistency thing. Because I also agree that Jalen Waddle was offsides in that picture that circulated of the Dolphins game. Same
it
thing.
Happens.
They're lined up exactly the same. It's a judgment call. But
there's
but it's not a
gazillion missed false starts too. Like, dude, yeah, it's been a mad. That's been a huge fucking problem this year. It's been,
oh
it's
yeah,
been the missed
because
false starts.
Offensive lines are getting off before the ball starts. Well, that's the definition of a false start. But I mean, and they're setting him in ways that might not be legal to try to slow down pass rushes.
Yep.
So
because offensive tackle, the right, generally it's the right tackle. It's like a half a foot off.
Yeah.
It's marked where he's supposed to line up with the center. His helmet's not in line with the center shoulder. I think it's the center shoulders. And like, it's a big thing for the Chiefs too. I've seen it. It's that the guy is too far back, and it just doesn't get called anymore at all.
So it's
really
just, it's the consistency of it that I think pisses a lot of people off.
But do we really want to see 5-hour football games? That's another problem, right? They start calling these calls a lot more. You're gonna it's gonna be baseball lawn territory at this point.
No, you go the other way, I think, and you just and baseball's done a lot better.
Well, I mean, not
game,
this year, obviously, yes, because of the pitch rule too.
But
yeah, pitch clock.
Plus, you don't want to miss 60 minutes right after the football game.
Right. Exactly. I think it goes the other way, and I think that you don't call that if it's not blatant and egregious, right?
And then just rewrite the rules.
He's 2 inches over the line. Like, he's not, like, he's on the line. He's not even fully over it, right? Like, that didn't change the outcome of the play because his toe was further than it should have been.
Yeah.
So.
But you're also a wide receiver, man. I don't understand. I to me personally, I don't get how you lined up. I mean, unless you're trying. It's all strategy, right? You're trying to get that much closer, you know, to get off the ball quicker, or not off the ball, but off the snap quicker. Like, I understand why they're doing it, but it's just like,
well, if
you've
got
a pitch, it's a fucking penalty. Like, just move on.
And
like,
if you're running picks out of that formation or whatever, but
yeah,
still, yep, it was by definition the right call, though.
That was Goodell's response, apparently, when, he got asked about all the, you know, people bitching about the rule. He goes, well, you guys are pissed off now that they actually made the right call. Like, it's just like,
you can't win in this situation.
They're like, well,
no, you can't win.
The ref made the right call.
He did make the right call, and they're bitching the other way if he doesn't make
like,
that call.
Bills
so.
Fans would have bitched about it. Yeah. Yeah. It would have been, it's a lose-lose for the league.
Yeah. And that seems to be really bad with the NFL more so than anything else, is people like to focus in on one play and say that changed the outcome. All right.
It's not the fact that the Chiefs only scored 17 points.
Who's your MVP front runner right now? There's a conversation, Dan, you saw it about Dak versus Purdy versus.
To me, it's Dak still.
Yeah.
We talked, I know Ryan asked about this last week. Purdy definitely gets, like, he deserves the love that he gets. Like, I may shit on this situation because I'm sick of hearing Brock Purdy. So I muted Brock Purdy and Purdy on Twitter because I'm sick and tired of seeing people bitch and complain on both directions. Like, can we just fucking stop? Like, stop acting like I'm the biggest Brock Purdy defender. I got to fucking complain every time. It just gets super annoying. But I still think it should be Tyreek Hill, but it won't be. It's going to go to Dak. If Dallas keeps playing the way they're playing, I think it's Dak to lose.
They're dominant force.
They look so fucking good, and Dak's been playing so fucking well, and he doesn't quite get the same love as Brock does, and with the weapons that Brock has, but
yeah,
I would still give it to Dak. There's still 4 weeks, a lot can happen, but I would still give it to Dak.
Dak and him stat wise very close.
They're
real close,
like and, neck and neck.
Yeah, they're.
And oddly enough, Dallas is not getting a whole lot of love. I mean, Dak's not getting a lot of love in that department because it's all been Purdy or Hurts.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's a 2-horse race right now between those two. By the way, I don't think Hurts and Tua put themselves out of that.
I wonder where Jackson lines up. I want to know where Lamar lines up.
Purdy's got a statistical edge, quarterback usually behind the center. Purdy's got a statistical edge. Dak has the better narrative and I think is more valuable to his team. I think Purdy gets uplifted a lot by the talent around him. His numbers are better. His receivers are giving him better yak, better separation. I think Dak matters more to his team. So
if I do think if Baltimore finishes with the best record in the AFC, maybe the league, I think you'll start to see Lamar's name jump up more. I know his stats aren't there, you know, compared to the others, but I also fucking hate the MVP because it's just a QB award.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of
it. It makes sense, but they also lean heavily into stats way more than they should.
I'm not a fan of rewarding the QB because the team's good.
Yeah, if
that's what you're getting into.
If I had my way, it would go to Tyreek Hill. Him or McCaffrey. Probably Hill at this point because you saw how bad Miami's offense looked when he got hurt.
Yeah.
He's not going to break the record at this point. You're right.
Absolutely. It's one of the highest over-unders of the week, so.
Yep. And the Raiders just scored at halftime.
They scored during halftime?
Scored during halftime.
I can't. Easton Stick threw another touchdown. 5 touchdowns. Unbelievable. He scored during halftime.
Yeah, you Michael Mayer hit an out route. Because you said Easton Stick throwing an out route to Michael Mayer for a touchdown is not.
He changed teams. He said, what? You go ahead and go in there, Duncan. You throw to Quentin Johnson.
Exactly.
I'm going to the other team. This. You guys don't want me.
You went with the wrong quarterback.
Fine. Easton Stick, Aiden O'Connell. I mean, here we go.
No, Easton Stick is now the new quarterback he's a backup to Aiden O'Connell.
We just made a trade. Back for the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Mid-game.
It's December collusion. 22nd now.
Collusion.
December 22nd. We decided to move it.
Collusion. He tried to drop him mid-game so he can add him in the second. Well, here, man, you're going to the Raiders now. We just dropped you, and they just picked you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to go to their locker room now. We'll see you.
That's right.
Tommy DeVito's dynasty value.
Is he going to really start next year?
He's a better QB than the $42 million dollar backup.
I think he's worth the late second.
I think they'll compete on it, yeah.
If you're a playoff team with the trade deadline still going, which you said in Dynasty, and you are desperate for a second QB, let's say you lost Herbert this week, and I don't want to say Straw, but Straw's in a bad situation this week. Like, if you're desperate, I think throwing a second is fine. And I think both teams would. I think the other team would snap accepted. Like, if you had, DeVito and your team's not making the playoffs and you get a second round pick for him, that's a snap accept. Like, easily, because there's absolutely no guarantee that he's even the starter there next year.
No, that it doesn't get figured out or anything like that. He's playing well.
It's not like the Giants are not like the Niners. Yeah, it's a great story.
We've seen this with guys all the time, and they end up, either competing for a starting job, and if they win it, then they might get a year or two, or they end up just kind of bouncing around the league as journeymen that keep starting, which in a 2-quarterback league is worth a second rounder,
Yeah.
So you're right on there. Eight touchdowns, just 3 picks, 855 yards, just 66% completion percentage, which isn't terrible, but not great.
He's playing. He's gotten a lot better since his first starts. I think the jitters are gone. I think he's getting comfortable. Yep. And Dable's not a Dable's not a bad
quarterback
head coach.
Yeah.
Like, this is like he'll find his way. But I mean, God forbid, he got the most out of Daniel Jones last year. It's
Tommy DeVito might save his job.
I think they're right there in the playoff race.
All right, one more from around the league, and then we'll get into some of these matchups. Cam Newton, you see that quote? Called Dak, Tua, Purdy, Goff, all game managers. Agree? Disagree?
Is he jealous?
I think so, because they have jobs.
I mean, Goff, exactly. Tua... I think Dak's only one where I'm like,
I think he's proven through multiple OCs.
So how do you define game manager? Let me ask you that, because I define game manager as somebody that is there to not lose you to the game. You're not relying on their arm to score points. You might have a good running game. You might rely on them to pick up a third down here or there. You probably have a really, really good defense that's, you know, making it to where your team doesn't have to score. That's what I see a game manager as.
I think he's one where he's not going to change your playbook for you. He's there to serve the purpose of moving the sticks. Like if the Niners got Lamar Jackson, they're going to change the playbook around.
Oh yeah.
They're going to fit to his strengths.
Yep.
And I say that in a way where it's,
there's only a couple quarterbacks that make you do that though, but
there's very few quarterbacks in the league that aren't technically game managers. I think in Newton's quote, it was literally game manager or game changers is where he was coming from. And that's why I don't disagree with him in that sense, because all four of those quarterbacks aren't
game changers. No,
they're not. They're not massive runners at all. Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't even have to be a runner to be a game changer. You can be a big arm guy too, or whatever. But, you know, I think that they're more than with the points that those teams are putting up in particular. To me, that's more than game manager, especially with Goff and Tua, who don't necessarily have elite defenses to go with it.
It's yeah. And I think people also hear game manager and they hear it as an insult. And let's be honest, the greatest quarterback of all time is a fucking game manager quarterback.
It's true.
Tom Brady was a game manager for many fucking years, who was carried by, who was uplifted by his defense and his lack of talent around him. He developed and he honed his part of the game that was so dominant that it didn't fucking matter. Like, Rodgers is one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time. He's got one Super Bowl and a bunch of choke jobs. Like, just because you're a game changer doesn't mean that you are going to be more successful.
True.
And I'm pretty sure Brock Purdy's pretty much fine being called the game manager after being Mr. Irrelevant last year. So,
yeah, you know, take that.
Cheers to Purdy. Finally, yeah. I'll give you the compliment you were totally searching for from this podcast for you.
Especially because if he wins the Super Bowl, he can rub that in Cam Newton's face.
I fucking hope, I'll be honest, I fucking hope they don't. Thank God he's muted. I might just block everything to do with Brock Purdy, because I want to fucking see. I don't want to be an X when that happens.
You don't want to see Chuba Purdy on the sideline with him?
I don't want to see. God, no. I don't want to hear about Brock Purdy.
Or Chubby. Chub Purdy.
What?
His brother Chubba?
I didn't know he had a brother.
Yeah. Chuba, I think is it. Or Chuba or Chuba, something they call him like that. Just because he was fatter when he was younger, that's where he got the nickname.
Got it.
Clever.
Great. I love kids. They give great nicknames. All right. Looking at games this week, couple good ones, couple bad ones. First off, if you have a Raider, you should start them.
Yes. All of them, actually.
If you have a Charger, you should probably bench them.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
Hard hitting analysis from us. I love it.
Jaguars are going to be in a little bit of tough sledding against the Ravens. I think the Eagles are going to have a get right game against the Seahawks. Bills Cowboys will be fun, but probably not a barn burner, but fun.
I think that's the shootout that we wanted from last week.
Yeah.
With how well Dallas offense is moving, mm-hmm. the Bills are going to have to keep pace to try to keep their defense also hurt.
I think so too. And with
that game, I'm hoping.
And I'll go ahead and plan it. That might be a Gabe Davis game. I mean,
that is
nothing for a while.
This
has Gabe Davis written all over it, and he may have been dropped.
You know who has also a Dalton Kincaid comeback game too? Because this, I like, it's gonna be heavy passing. You know, James Cook probably must start. Like, that should be a very fun matchup.
Indeed. Commanders Rams is pretty green script neutral for me. Commander's defense not great. You're good running out Puka and Cup, but you're not really getting anywhere into the weeds on this for fantasy purposes.
Their health at this point, pretty much. You know, can they just stay healthy?
Yeah.
For
we
a
talked
full
about
game.
Gibson earlier. Niners Cardinals should be one sided towards the Niners. Marquise Brown is still nursing a heel injury, so keep an eye on that for the Cardinals. There hasn't really been a receiver that's stepped up and jumped out there. Rondale Moore, some big play potential, but tough pass rush.
McBride's kind of the only guy.
McBride might be the only guy. Yep. Texans, Titans. Texans going with backup quarterback. Good defense. So, yeah, you're not really doing anything.
Avoid.
Avoid that. Obviously, start your studs. Chiefs, Patriots. This is just kind of a quick run through because it's the playoffs. We haven't done this all year. Chiefs, Patriots. That's going to be what it's going to be.
Jets, I think it'll be a low scoring game, but I think Kansas City shuts them down.
I think so too. But as far as targeting, you know, guys you're not normally starting, I don't think that the Patriots are going to push them enough to, like, give Rashee Rice a good workload or anything like that. Zeke for the Patriots.
How comfortable are you playing Mahomes in that game? How good has Mahomes actually been?
He's not been great. He's been.
I mean, I know it's one of those things. I mean, obviously, two QB super flex. Yes, this is strictly single QB.
Been good enough. I'm kind of looking at
QB 20, QB 17, QB 8, QB 15, 13, 31 in his past six games.
Yeah,
he's got no top 12. He's got one top 12 finish, no top five finish.
I mean, here's what I look at. So, who's available? You're not going Mitch Trubisky or over Mahomes. You're Browning. You can make an argument for.
I know. Against Minnesota, top five defense. They haven't allowed a touchdown in two games.
Rushing touchdowns.
Browning is not a pick. I mean, that's going to be.
Said you can make an argument. I mean, it could have. It was a good thing.
Sorry.
Said you can make an argument.
I mean,
I didn't say that was a surefire thing. Making arguments like, okay, like you could spin a story, but I'm not sold on it.
Yeah. I mean, you can always do that for anything. You can spin a story on fucking Cam Newton somehow.
Goff isn't in a great matchup. Russell Wilson could be, but he's likely not available right now.
No, he's
single,
a hard one to pick
he
up.
He might be. It's single QB. Sam Howell.
Yeah, Sam Howell.
Dropped in bye week last week.
Yeah, Sam Howell would be a good one to target. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I just don't think there's a lot of options over him. If you find one you feel better about, sure, but there's not a lot of options that I look at this and
say. At this point, there probably shouldn't be, but
I'm just saying
it's one of those situations where Mahomes is like, it's one of those scenes where it's that, like, all the worst scenes have lined up in a way to make Mahomes.
It's
Devontae Adams touchdown.
Fear to question, really?
Great.
Fear to question.
Yeah. It's Jesus the same. Christ. It's the same thing with Tua right now too, right? I mean, both games, it's the same thing with Tua. And what do you do with that? I mean, do you believe Zach Wilson's performance from last week over Tua or Mahomes?
You mean the AFC a player of the week?
Yes, the AFC player of the week, Zach Wilson.
I mean, the man's got nothing to lose. No, I'm not chasing Zach Wilson points either, but it's one of those things I wanted to throw out there.
And that's what
quickly
it,
go through this.
Right, because Mahomes and Tua, you're not thinking about until you are. Mahomes has been down. Tua's been down. Tua's got a dog shit matchup.
We're in the fucking playoffs. You're trying to just win this week.
Like, you're trying to just win. But you don't have a lot of great options to go out there and replace those guys with plug in. Maybe Jordan Love against the Bucks. Maybe Sam Howell against the Rams. Not really looking at DeVito against the Saints. Their defense has been pretty good. Not looking at anything in Falcons Panthers for that. So.
Are the balls did you too. Play DeVito over Mahomes?
Huh. Like looking at the Chiefs and Patriots game. Like, what if Bill Belichick just says, we'll just shut down Travis Kelce and double team the whole entire time? Then how do you feel about Mahomes?
Feel good about Rashee Rice if that's what they decide to do, and maybe Jerick McKinnon. But I don't feel great about Mahomes. But, you know, am I rolling with Mahomes over any of those other guys that – yeah, we mentioned
most people, but 99%
of people will. Yeah,
I'm rolling with all my Raiders right now. Actually, if I had an opportunity to,
got the opportunity to do that.
Tammy, why don't you go back in time?
Jets, Dolphins, and avoid for the Dolphins. Jets, I mean, you're not getting cute with them, but you got a little bit more confidence. Rough. You got a little bit more confidence starting them, I guess. Packers, Bucks is not a bad one to target. But
that should be a good one.
We talked about
it. Feels like a trap game. That feels like an ugly game. Yeah.
It feels like just kind of a meh game. But we talked about the Packers receivers being options. Falcons, yeah. Panthers are healthy in the secondary now.
Yeah, I don't like that game at all.
That game, like that game feels, under that feels so fucking gross. No, I'm good. That's an avoid game.
It's the lowest over under of the week.
Bears, Browns. Bears defense has been better since they've gotten healthy in the secondary. Don't like that game for points.
I think it's
It could be better. Like it depends how Fields handles the Cleveland pass rush. Just, I think it's how that game's going to go.
Could be a Fields Foreman game.
Could end up with a lot of Justin Fields, though, and not a lot of anything else around him. Maybe Cole Kmet, but.
I get to play a naked Justin Fields in DFS, then. Perfect.
Ooh, that's sexy.
So, not a great week to have to fill in things. So, hopefully we gave you all some options on that. A little bit of insight to the games. Expect it to be low scoring unless you've got guys in, you know, like, Cowboys,
some of the marquee matchups.
Your Niners, you got people on the Niners, maybe the Rams, probably the Eagles. Like, you know, it's looking like Stoughton.
Hey, Josh Palmer scored.
But did he?
79-yard touchdown.
Fuck you.
You gotta be fucking kidding. He did. What a play.
I'm in it right there.
Yeah.
56 total points. This game, I mean, the Raiders covered the over-under on their own, but Jesus, this game's on crack, man.
The Raiders are 11 points away from setting their own league history.
One for 79 and a touchdown just made that start totally.
Who would have thought Aiden O'Connell versus Easton Stick produced 56 points?
Right.
Who would have thought Jacoby Myers would throw a touchdown pass, too?
I am playing against Jacoby Myers.
Oh, he threw a touchdown pass.
He must have threw it to Adams, and he threw it to Adams in.
Yeah. I'm playing against Jacoby Myers in the game where Josh Palmer just went deep, so it's not, like, a bad thing.
Hopper, I'm playing against you who has Jacoby Myers in your league.
Oh, yeah, you are.
You and I are playing each other this week.
Yes, we are.
How much we got left of this? I got to go pee.
No, we're done. I was trying to wrap it up. I was going to end it on the draft.
Sorry, my bad.
All right, Dan's got to pee. We're done. What?
See you guys. About another lampshade.